Yes, so this is the NDGF site report. Some of what I'm going to talk about. We're a distributed tier one site for WLCG. As most of you might know, we are spread out over six academic HPC sites in the Nordics. And we also federate the disk from the Slovenian tier two for Atlas. So our targets is 6% of Atlas tier one and 9% of Alice tier one resources. This is what our funding agencies pay us to do. Thanks to some lucky procurements and that we federate the Slovenian disk too, we are the second largest Atlas data disk around. Very close to BNL currently, which is the largest one. And if you have a tier two that is run very well, but you don't want to have any visibility, you can talk to us about federating even more. Staff change, the ones that relevant here is that Vincent Garon, previously from Atlas DDM, or currently from Atlas DDM, Brutio developer, will be joining us as our new storage expert, Dcache developer, starting next month. And then I have a section here. As some of you might have heard last time, we were just upgrading to highly available Dcache, where we can do downtime-less upgrades, both of the base OS, including kernel reboots, and Dcache for minor versions. Hardware updates we usually can do within a day. The head nodes take a couple of days because we need checked out SRM turls to expire. So, this is done. This is our setup where we have two hard nodes with a set of VMs on them, a floating IP for handled by UCARP for the incoming requests, and then the data is in a cloud of pools. So for rebooting the hard nodes, we start by migrating all of the VMs to that one of the host, do a rep manager failover of Postgres live, and do a UCARP failover with some appropriately sized pkills to free up one of the nodes. Then reboot that, migrate everything back, VMs, Postgres, and UCARP. And then after Zanuck has rebooted, we redistribute our VMs according to our normal distribution. The normal distribution implies that that host can spontaneously fail and will still be running, but not that one. Then we'll have to do manual failover. This is due to we only having two hosts and automatically gaining a quorum. When you lose half of two hosts is not a solved problem. But we do this fairly frequently with no known user impact. For updating head nodes, for instance, if we want to update Dcache version or reboot to a new kernel on this VM, we start by disabling the frontends in HA proxy here. Then ask Dcache to not hand out turls that directly reference the node either. Change the DNS for the GSI XRoot DDoor since, as far as we know, most of the clients still are using global security and care more about the reverse mapping of the IP instead of the host name that we actually publish. So that means we can't handle that through HA proxy. wait for TURLs to expire. Both Dcache and HAProxy have useful information systems where you can see how many requests are going to each of them. And when both counters count at zero, just for boot, then you re-enable HAProxy. Dcache will automatically have already enabled this, at least on this host, because at the dcache to start, the dcache internal load balancer will not remember that state. Then you just repeat the same. So this is what we've been doing for the last 6 months. And we've had a few bugs now fixed in how dcache were handling zookeeper queuing. As far as we know, all of those have been fixed now. And we've been doing this for 6 months. This includes running on Ubuntu, who thinks that you shouldn't wait and gather up a huge set of errata for kernel updates, but release early, release often. So a couple of reboots per month, and maybe one minor release of dcache per month also. As far as we know, there has been no user impact for this. It's a little bit manpower intensive in that it is multiple steps with waiting in between. But on the other hand, we don't need to make exact plans. We don't need to schedule any downtime in advance. So I say that this is a significant step up in our operations. So, some site reports. HPC2N, that's in Umeå. We bought some more Dells with 16 drives as the base unit for dcache pools. Very happy with the performance of those still. Bought another 8 servers, same specs as the previous site report. And we're upgrading the older HPC cluster that runs the WCD traffic, WCD jobs, from Ubuntu 12.04 to 16.04. This is something that has been meant to be done for quite some time, but since Ubuntu 12.04 reaches end of security support at the end of the month, this has suddenly become a high priority and is being rushed these weeks. We will run Singularity to provide Atlas environment. Ideologically, a bit of a step back from our previous work, where we actually made Atlas software work on Ubuntu 12.04, but we don't really want to put in the effort of redoing this, and it would largely be on us. Also, Singularity seems to be the way to go for that. Recruiting news, as I said on last Hepix, this job that was out soon, 6 months ago, is finally out now. In case any of you have a situation where you have more staff than funding, you can send them our way, assuming you have more good staff than funding. And then an interesting point that we discovered also when upgrading, the HP hardware RAID controllers by the HP SIA driver had a huge regression in performance for sequential I/O. This was discovered by us when we were upgraded to a newer version of Ubuntu. That's why it's tracked in their bug tracker. But for our tape front end pools, we went from 1.8 gigabytes per second to 0.6 gigabytes per second. Given that 10 gigabit networking is the target we're running for here, this was a big issue. It applies to anything with a change that came with mainline kernel 3.18.22. And I think this is the CentOS Red Hat Scientific Linux kernel version, where this the version after this is where this change went into a point release in inside of RHEL 7. The cause for this is that Linux now trusts the hardware and the driver to tell them how big is the biggest I/O I can support, instead of having this capped to 512K. The driver says 4 megs. Anything above 1 meg has horrible performance. But it technically can support that size of I/O, so this was closed with not a bug, working as designed. I'm not sure I agree with that, but I think it's a driver bug. But Linux will aggregate I/Os when you write sequentially. So this was, then we have a UDEV rule that sets the maximum kilobytes for a single I/O to 512. It's linked from this bug. It should apply to most modern Linuxes. In Slovenia, next site, they got some more pools for Dcache. They're currently at 3.7 petabytes of pools split over Atlas in NGGF and Bell, which is not in NGGF. They use Ceph for the cluster cache, CephFS to be precise. They're very happy with the performance, so they're planning on rolling out that in more sites. They got some network upgrades done, which was very much needed for the distributed dcache. They are pioneers for using Singularity for Atlas and as a generic environment for their clusters. They switched to using that now from a previous SCH root solution. The main cluster at IES runs Gen 2 as the native OS, so they also needed some compatibility for those softwares that are not very well ported. And they also use that to enable the common cluster at the Josef Stefan Institute for Atlas jobs. This provided some challenges, since this was an IPv6 only resource on the worker nodes. And they might get more resources through Slovenia through this work. They are moving computing centers, have been for some time. Their compute part, they have waited a bit for AMD to release new processors so they could see if they get more performance per currency there. And they seem to have good cooperation with the and funding stream. Onwards to Sweden again, where we have a comment on a less happy funding situation. There has been a messy situation in Sweden for funding. It's gotten messier since the current national computing project ends at the end of this year. And the decision on how the new one is going to look has not been made yet. Well, hasn't been formally made and published yet. I think informally it's starting to firm up. That means there have been lots of delays for funding replacement clusters. Even running it, at the NSC, they have reduced the number of nodes. But they finally got funding for a replacement cluster to be installed in 2018. In the weather forecasting system, they have had interesting times. Four PDUs burned, not very well designed internally, have been replaced. They also have an agreement between the Norwegian and the Swedish forecasting service that all the weather forecasting will be hosted in... all? No. Yes. So they have moved this to install a new cluster for weather forecasting in a different room. Will be in production in May. They got some new dcache ordered some new dcache pools for storage. They have run on Vector HB servers to be delivered soon. And they have new connectivity to the network where instead of the old dedicated wavelength for the OPN and a complicated maybe fallback solution over the general network, they now have logical routers in the NRENS border routers at the university and connected there to a virtual routing facility that they handle there for the LHC OPN, which means that failover, etc., is much more straightforward and handled automatically through BGP. And then I will be summarizing some of the power outage adventures. Full details are in the slides or available in the breaks by Thomas Bellman. So they had a power outage on March 6th. This was for a large part of the system. Storage systems had priority UPS powers, so they worked. But worker nodes went down after 4 minutes. That's the non-prioritized UPS time. Unfortunately, the Met Office cluster had worker nodes on priority UPS and system servers on unprioritized power after miscabling when exchanging the PDUs. Then later in March, the detector for electrical arcs in the power substation triggered, in the middle of the night, of course. Lost power, and power company couldn't figure out why, so they just turned it on again. And then the same thing happened in the afternoon on Wednesday. Suspect that the detector is bad, so the power company disabled the protector. And then there was another arc detector triggered, this time a different one. Also this time they saw overcurrents in the upstream power station. After several hours, an electrician crept into a crawl space and found a nut and bolt supposed to hold the power rail below it on the floor, also so sooting. Now they realized that something was actually wrong and not just detectors being wrong. They ordered a couple of diesel generators, which took a long time to arrive. But you know, diesel generators can be built, it's a good size. The power central was not really designed to attach this, so they had to pull cables through an open doors, find some nuts and bolts for a power rail to attach to. Hopefully not the ones that they found on the floor. So in the end, they could only attach one of the generators. So power was restored at about 8, and then the Met Office was happy because then they could finally run forecasting. Since only one of the two generators was installed, the rest had to suffer a bit. and some UPS batteries turned into smoke emitting diodes. Yet another power outage. They managed to repair it and can turn it off, turn the generators off. So they did that and so this nut and bolt was on the customer side of the power substation. The power company wants to expect their side of the power station, because if this was incompetently done in part of the installation, there is the possibility that other parts of the same installation might also have a significant lack of competence. So they need to schedule another power outage for someone to crawl into a not very serviceable space. And then some advertising for the NAICC 2017 conference at the end of May. Alf, this is the URL I wanted you to look at. And now I might have killed you all with PowerPoint poisoning.
So WLGG has started to discuss new computing models, and one of the ideas is to get rid of these very small sites and have a few big sites to provide as a data center. With your Slovenian Tier 2, is this already a prototype, and do you have any experience on this? What does Nordic Grid
this is certainly
supporting this idea?
This is certainly a way where you could consolidate storage, especially, into one site with one logical namespace, but still having the hardware distributed, because it is hard to send hardware or money across borders. So we are spread out over 7 sites, all with their local installation, and the majority of the money goes into the local hardware. Because what costs much in a storage element is the disks. The networking, and the manpower. The manpower could be pretty much anywhere. The networking gets a little bit more expensive in a distributed situation, but on the other hand, you need networking anyway.
Okay, more question? No more question? Okay, thanks. Mm-hmm.